Welcome to Risky Business News, our 3 times per week cybersecurity news podcast. This is Cătălin Câmpanu, and this week our shows are sponsored by Rumble, the asset discovery company. In today's show, Atlassian has asked Confluent server owners to update their installations to fix an actively exploited vulnerability that impacts some of its most popular products. The vulnerability is a hard-coded username and password in Questions for Confluence, an app that can be installed on Confluent servers to allow employees to ask questions and receive answers from a company's various internal departments. On July 20, Atlassian released security patches for Confluent server and data center on-premise instances that removed this account. According to security firms Graynoise and Rapid7, attacks exploiting the hard-coded account for initial access began less than a week after this patch, after a security researcher posted the hard-coded account username and password on Twitter. Since Confluent's on-premise servers are broadly used in corporate and government environments, the US Cybersecurity and Infrastructure Security Agency has also urged Confluent owners to check and see if the vulnerable app had been installed on their servers and then install the patches. Atlassian warned that disabling the Questions for Confluent app won't fix the issue, and server owners must either install the security fixes or manually disable the hard-coded account by hand. In other vulnerability news, a team of academics and security researchers have published new research last week detailing a new method of conducting raw hammer attacks on computer memory. Raw hammer attacks take place when a threat actor hammers a row of memory cells inside the RAM card with repeated and fast-paced read-write operations to create electrical faults in nearby rows and alter data. Typically, raw hammer only impacts the nearby rows next to a line of memory cells being attacked. But according to this new research, this new attack, named half-double, can now impact data in 2 rows apart from the line of attacked memory cells. In the same realm of academic research, academics from Belgian University KU-Leuven have also published details about a new cryptographic attack against the supersingular isogeny Diffie-Hellman key exchange algorithm. The SIDH algorithm is an analog of the more well-known Diffie-Hellman algorithm that can be used to establish a secret key between 2 parties over insecure connections and was designed to resist attacks from quantum computers. The new attack discovered by Belgian researchers can recover SIDH keys within 1 hour. Also in vulnerability news, security researcher Derek Abdin published details on Friday on 3 vulnerabilities in the firmware of Aris routers and all derivative products. Abdin says that while 2 of the 3 vulnerabilities are impractical to exploit, the 3rd is rated critical. The vulnerabilities impact Aris DSL routers, which are usually handed out by ISPs to their customers for at-home connectivity. Abdin says that at least 19,000 such devices can be easily discovered online, but that after a responsible disclosure process, most are now patched. Moving on to malware news, Trend Micro has published a report on DotDropper, a new dropper as a service for Android malware. Android droppers are small pieces of malicious code hidden inside innocent-looking apps that are meant to help threat actors pass security checks and later install more advanced malware. According to Trend Micro, the new DotDropper service is advertised on the dark web and has already been seen inside infected apps and the official Google Play Store, where it had been used to push more advanced banking trojans to Android smartphones. Also in malware news, Microsoft said on Friday that they've seen instances where the new Raspberry Robin malware has been used as a first stage for the deployment of a second stage malware strain known as fake updates or SOC Gaulish. In the eyes of several security experts, this is a worrying event as the fake updates operation has been previously used to drop ransomware inside corporate networks. Some reporting also linked the threat actor behind these attacks to the Evil Corp cybercrime cartel sanctioned by US authorities. But Katie Nichols, director of intelligence at Red Canary, the security firm that initially discovered and documented the Raspberry Robin malware earlier this year, cautioned that it was too early to say if Evil Corp is responsible or associated with Raspberry Robin in any way. ENISA, the European Union Agency for Cybersecurity, has also published a report last week analyzing more than 600 ransomware attacks that took place between May 2021 and June 2022. Among the report's merits, ENISA introduced the LEDS metrics, which stands for Lock, Encrypt, Delete, and Steal, A matrix that can map ransomware capabilities based on the actions performed and assets targeted. Moving on to cybercrime-related news. Last week, Australian authorities finally charged the creator of the Imminent Monitor remote access Trojans, almost 3 years after Europol cracked down on the operation. Identified as Jacob Wayne John Keane, 24, from Brisbane, the suspect was charged for creating the widely popular hacking tool, along with his mother, aged 42, who authorities said profited from the proceeds of her son's crimes. In tech and privacy news, AdGuard, one of today's largest ad blocking companies, said last week that its ad blocking and DNS privacy services are having issues in Russia after the local government blocked its VPN service using what the company called a crude method to block its entire AdGuard.com domain. Also in Russia-related news, a Russian court reintroduced a ban on the Tor mobile browser app inside Russia's borders. The Russian government initially ordered Google to remove the app from its official Play Store at the end of May, but the ban was reversed last week following a legal action citing a breach of procedures, only for the ban to be reintroduced days later. Moving on to government and policy-related news, an Israeli government commission said last week that Israeli police forces did not break any laws when they deployed the NSO group's Pegasus spyware in cases over the past few years. The Israeli government was forced to investigate the police forces' use of the Pegasus spyware after local media claimed that the government used NSO's tools against political activists and rivals, and not just criminal suspects only. Moving on to news on hacks and breaches, a pretty interesting IBM report published last week found that almost 60% of surveyed companies passed the cost incurred from a recent data breach downstream to their customers in the form of price hikes. Now, in other news, DeFi platform Nirvana also lost $3.5 million worth of cryptocurrency following a flash loan attack that took place last week. Just like any respectable DeFi platform before it, Nirvana begged the hacker to return the stolen funds in exchange of a bug bounty payment of $300,000. At the time of this recording, the hacker has yet to take Nirvana and its offer and has not returned the stolen funds. Also in data breach news, hackers published last week a data trove they claimed to have stolen from the official Russian postal service. The data contains more than 10 million data points about past deliveries, such as sender and recipient names, addresses, and shipment details. In a statement to local media, the Posta denied the breach and said the hackers obtained the data from a third-party contractor. Russian delivery services have been at the center of several data leaks since Russia's invasion of Ukraine, with past incidents also affecting Yandex Food, Delivery Club, and CDEK. In another incident, the operators of the AlphaV ransomware gang claimed to have successfully attacked the Creos Luxembourg natural gas pipeline operator. The company previously disclosed a cybersecurity incident last week, but did not specify that it was ransomware. Ironically, AlphaV is considered a new and rebranded incarnation of the old DarkSide ransomware group, which hit Colonial Pipeline in the US last year, for which the gang got into a lot of trouble and had to shut down its operation as a result. And last but not least, we also had several cybersecurity-related tools released last week. The first is a Python library developed by Palo Alto Networks for the extraction of information from .NET portable execution malware files. The second is a decryption utility for users impacted by the SafeSound ransomware released by Chinese security firm Rising. And last is a new TLS test suite released by academics from two German universities. Named TLS Anvil, the tool can evaluate the RFC compliance of transport layer security libraries. Continuing the discussion on TLS certificates, we now have Piers Berry, Principal Security Researcher at Rumble, today's sponsor, with more on the subject.
There has been recent buzz in the news around the U.S. NIST organization's work to identify a path forward for post-quantum encryption and signature algorithms. While this work is both important and interesting, it also provides good pause to consider our current state of security, including secure network communications. X509 certificates are a cornerstone component of secure encrypted network communications. Modern protocols like TLS and its predecessor, SSL, utilize these digital certificates when establishing secure connections between endpoints, whether across the internet or within a private network. X509 certificates are also designed to convey trust through attributable signing by recognized certificate authorities. But the reality around any given certificate can get complicated. Sometimes certificates are revoked on behalf of the certificate authority. Sometimes certificates aren't signed by a recognized certificate authority. Sometimes certificates are part of malicious use. And sometimes certificates reach their expiration date unexpectedly. Surfacing situations like these within your organization can provide both awareness and opportunity for improving security posture. To learn how to hunt for X509 certificates within your network, check out our recent article at rumble.run/blog.
This is it for today's news. You can find links to all the technical reports mentioned in this podcast in our newsletter at riskybiznews.substack.com, and you can subscribe to our podcast via our website at risky.biz.